Welcome, everyone. It is such a pleasure to be hosting the Mojo Call this morning. I am Delise Huertas. I am in the Central Northeast Pennsylvania market. My husband tells me I kept saying Northeast Pennsylvania, but really it's a little more central Pennsylvania. I'm an ETL. I've been in ACN now for almost 2 years, or just about 2 years, which is like amazing and crazy for me. The time goes so quickly. And I'm just honored to be hosting this Mojo Call this morning. I remember when I first started with ACN, and I was told that this was an opportunity to have this time in the morning to be encouraged with business partners and the mentors that I had been seeing across the country on the different calls and the different PBZs. It was very encouraging. It was inspiring, but it was also very intimidating. So I'm thankful to be able to share with you guys this morning. I've only done this one other time, so I'm going to try to do my best. I hope everyone can hear me well. But at this point, I'm going to, first of all, say the Mojo Call, I heard a few other people do this. So I think this is really cool. But the Mojo Call is on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 8 o'clock in the morning every single week. I have, again, been connected for a couple of years, and I can't remember when we haven't had one, unless it was that one of those days fell on a major holiday. The people who spend their time and put their efforts forth and sacrifice the opportunity to share with you in the mornings are just always on point. So I, for one, just want to thank you all so much so for doing this. It has been such an encouragement in my life. It has given me such great nuggets of wisdom and knowledge and information and tools and structures that I've been able to work from with the references to the different books and things that I've been given. It's really, truly been a blessing, and I'm sure others would say the same thing. Okay, I would like to quickly say that I am shifting, or maybe even pivoting, as the Eric Worre would say, from what I was originally thinking to speak to you very briefly about this morning, because something else came on my heart after our meeting last night, our team meeting with Ms. Nan Gabriel. I wanted to share with you, because on August 26th, we have that recruiting challenge with Eric Worre. We're all looking so diligently we're inviting it. People, if you haven't been doing this already, scheduling Zoom parties and in-person parties that you can watch the actual challenge. It's about a three-hour challenge together. And again, that's August 26th. If you haven't heard about it, or you haven't talked to your mentor or anyone about it, please ask about it. But we've all been very excited because this is a huge opportunity for us as a team, as a business owner, as a business person. And keep in mind that this particular challenge is not just for people who are part of ACN. Anyone that is involved in entrepreneurship, anyone that's involved in business, has to deal with the public, has to recruit for team, would appreciate and will be able to benefit from this. But that is what I really wanted to speak to you about, just a couple of nuggets that came from his time with us last Monday. And he talked about our step one, two, three, four, five, and so forth of recruiting a team. He talked about finding a prospect, starting a conversation, pivoting, and shifting that conversation from regular to a business conversation and so forth. Well, I'm not going to talk about that because what happened was I was then, of course, whisked away with the thoughts that came across my mind in reference to something that has been on my heart for a few days now. You know, it's been very interesting because I was able to join the challenge that we have, the Wellness and Health Challenge that Ms. Gabriel had invited us all to. Well, I went all in because I'm definitely that person, but I'm also in need right now. I have a few things going on, and I thought, well, this would be a great way to kind of give me some boundaries and some more information as to how I can continue to get better, you know, to heal myself, to stay well. And to make a long story short, I have had a lot of trouble sleeping here lately, and I don't know why. I often wonder what it is, but, you know, I'll not sleep. I'll get up in the middle of the night, and I'll do different things. I'll clean, I'll cook, I'll pace. I read, you know, I like to read my Bible when that happens because I think, oh, maybe he wants to speak to me. So I'll read, you know, some excerpts from one of my professional books. But in the meantime, when all that fails and I just can't seem to quiet my mind, I'll do something that will take me away. And I have been binge watching Grey's Anatomy. I am not a TV watcher, so I didn't watch it during the 20 years, I guess, that it was popular and everybody else watched it. But I've been watching Grey's Anatomy, and I came across an episode that struck me, and I just haven't been able to shake it. It has worn on me very heavily the past couple of days. Again, I'm not sure why, but I thought I'd share just a couple of excerpts from this particular episode, and you'll understand why when I do, and then leave you with a couple of comments and quotes that a couple of my mentors have shared since then. Again, I don't believe in coincidences, so there's something going on that I need to get from this, and I'm sharing it with you. So I hope that's okay with you. But anyway, Grey's Anatomy, I picked it up on Netflix, episode 10. I'm already up to, that's how many times I haven't been sleeping and watching this now over the past, I don't know, 6 months. It's season 10, episode 17. And in season 10, episode 17, for those of you who may be familiar with the show is about a medical facility, a hospital that has hired these five or six main characters who are surgeons. And these surgeons and then the other people that they interact with throughout the series have situations that they deal with, medical situations, which are fascinating to me, and also their lives, you know, the things that they have to go through to become these geniuses in their particular areas of expertise. And to make a long story short, there is a particular character that I relate to on the show. Her name is Christina Yang. She is a beautiful young Korean / Jewish, she always says, character. She is very much so aware of who she is and what she has to offer life, what she's been given. And she's been given this gift, I call it. And her gift is that she is an absolute brilliant cardiovascular surgeon. I don't have a medical background, so forgive me if I mistake something, Ms. Kara Carey, you would understand being a nurse, but I don't have that that vocabulary, so please bear with me. But bottom line is she is just brilliant, and she's been given this gift. She is has become so well-known in what it is that she does that everyone is now seeking her out for advice and for different procedures. She's been flying all over and doing things that are just amazing, and she's just had success in who she is. She also has the love of her life that she's met within the past a couple of seasons, and this gentleman has also challenged her to want to do other things for them to stay together and to be together. I don't want to tell you too much, just in case you decide to go back and watch the series and you haven't seen this yet, but they've gone through some tumultuous times, and he has given her an ultimatum pretty much, and then they kind of like are at a standstill. Well, to make a long story short, she comes across one of her patients, and this particular patient now, in this beginning of the episode 17, has been in a major car accident. I related with that very much. So he was rear-ended. He was terribly injured, and I'll say it that way just to keep it simple, but just terribly injured. His C3 and C4 spine had been crushed, and even though he was still alive, she was able to repair his heart, since Dr. Yang is a heart surgeon. They could do nothing else for him, and he was going to be paralyzed from the neck down. So his wife, and this is a young man, I think he was 27, they said in the episode, I was all in, she actually wants to make this decision for him. She's given a choice by Dr. Yang, and saying he can stay this way, he's on a ventilator, it's breathing for him, he can stay like this. If we remove the ventilator, he's going to pass away. Well, the beginning of this episode, by the way, starts with Dr. Yang pondering three questions. And it was ironic because the very same three questions that she's pondering about her life, because the way these episodes work, their lives are intertwined with the lives of their patients and the different types of procedures that they're doing. It's just fascinating, and I think the writers are brilliant. But she's pondering these three different questions, which turn out to be the very same three questions that she asks the patient when the wife tells her to wake him up and ask him, because there's a choice that has to be made. And keep in mind that these choices that have to be made are determining his life from that moment, that second on, as well as everyone else's around him, including Dr. Yang. So with that being said, I thought about what Ms. Gabriel said last night. This is one of the reasons why I thought to share this today. But she said, you can actually be any one you want to be tomorrow. And I thought about that when she said that, because it really struck me, because that's a choice, right? It's a choice to do, or a choice to be, or a choice to go, or a choice to stay. It's a choice. And these choices and these voices that we have in our heads, they're either choices that we are actually pondering ourselves, or choices that others are actually giving us. And then we have to make decisions. So in this, Dr. Yang is actually pondering these three questions. And the three questions are, number one, do you know who you are? Number two, do you know what happened to you? And number three, do you want to live this way? Well, I'm already getting butterflies because that struck me. First of all, I relate very heavily with the patient because in 2016, I was a victim of a major motor vehicle incident. I was rear-ended in my little Volvo station wagon by a city bus. Big old up the city bus. Sitting, about to make a left-hand turn at a stop, and the bus just barreled right through me. Again, I won't bore you with all those details, but I'm just so thankful to God that I was not left in the situation of this patient. That's number one. So from his perspective, I don't even want to go there because it's just entirely too real for me. But I understand that perspective. There's another perspective, though, because there's Dr. Yang's perspective, and then, of course, there's the wife's perspective. But Dr. Yang's perspective, of course, is that she's a doctor, and she wants him to live. She wants him to thrive. She wants him to get better. She wants to fix him, and she did it. She did a very difficult procedure on his heart, and she fixed that, but she couldn't do the spine. That's not her area of expertise. The expert said he couldn't fix it. She's done. So he's now being given these questions, and he has to make choices. The wife didn't want to make them for him. She wants her to wake him up. He has to make the choice. But the interesting thing is that the ramifications are shown from her perspective, because she starts to ponder the choices that she would have to make, or the choice, if indeed she makes the two particular choices, that she would have to make to be with the gentleman that she's in love with. Her life goes off on two different tangents. So bear with me because I'm getting somewhere with this. But what happens in the episode is it shows her just being quite distraught by the questions being asked of the patient and his answer. She walks away, and then she immediately sees the gentleman that she is having a relationship with, and she goes all in. Listen, I love you. I'm so endeared with you. We have to do this. We're stupid for just kind of playing these games. Let's just be together and go all in. And the next thing you know, you have a whole half of episode, and she has this life with him. Again, I won't spoil it for you, but she's done some things she said she would never do. You know what I mean? She becomes this person, and she gives some of her gifts away as she goes. Later on, they show her again at the bedside, because again, that was a perspective. She's asking the same questions. Do you know who you are? Do you know what's happened to you, and do you want to live this way? She walks away from the patient again, who has a different choice that's made, and she makes a different choice with that relationship, and her whole life is totally different. Again, I have been in a place where this has just really worked on me, because I know that choices are so important, and the decisions that we make are who we become in life, and it just really has set a different trajectory for my thinking when it comes to my ACM business. All it takes is just one person, the script says, that can change your life forever. And I just want to say that we have been given a choice by at least one person that has come into our life and said, hey, there's a better way, or hey, there's something else that you can do, or hey, there's some way that you can actually change your situation or improve your situation or enhance your situation. But it was one person, and I remember that one person for me was this beautiful young woman who I had seen for many, many years, just living her life and doing her thing, Mrs. Elizabeth Dobson, and she introduced me to ACN. I will never forget that. I am so thankful to her for that. But what I said to her when the presentation and opportunity that was presented to me was over was, why did you wait so long to tell me this? Why did you wait so long to ask me? Because I'm telling you, I literally signed up. And we literally made the appointment for my launch during that appointment, even though I knew that I, as an analytical thinker, I was going to have to get all the details and specifics. But it just was a no-brainer for me. But that one person was able to change my life now forever. It can also change the perspective and the color of your thinking. So I want you to just take into consideration that when we're making choices related to a choice that's actually been given to us, that we're still trying to work out the details, work out the kinks, trying to figure it all out, we actually will have to now start to change our thinking. And that's what these mojo calls and what the team meeting on Monday nights with Ms. Leanne Gabriel for, and the training with Ms. Don Perkins. God bless her. Thank you so much for those trainings. It changes our thinking and it actually develops us. There's a system here that we can follow, but again, we've been given a gift and we want to take that gift and we want to be able to use it and we want to make the choices that are going to make our gift thrive. With Dr. Yang, and I think I'm actually getting to my end point here, but with Dr. Yang, she actually had a gift that was diminished with the choices that she made based on others' input, if that makes sense. This has so much information and so much that I could share with you from it. Again, I probably could have waited to kind of streamline it a little bit more, but I was so excited about it because I think it's important and I hope someone gets something from this. But don't allow it to be that the gifts that you've been given and the gifts that we've been given through our association with HDN, they may seem small. You know, I think about the fact that what they used to actually put the heart together when they were showing the video, you know, little teeny needles and little pieces of string, if you will, there in this little teeny room with lights, and you know, it's small. It's nothing big and not on a stage or a display, but it's huge and it brings about major ramifications in very many ways. But do not allow it to be that the gifts that we've been given are squandered. There was actually, lastly, a quote that I heard from another mentor that I have, and you may be familiar with him, Dr., I will say, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he said, we come into this world looking like our parents, but we actually leave looking like our decisions. So I just wanted to leave you today. Again, maybe one day I'll be able to develop this message about these decisions and questions a little bit more so, fine-tune it. But I just want to leave you with that quote that he put, because that quote in particular I thought was fascinating. And then lastly, one by Leonard Ravenhill, opportunities of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. ACN is an amazing opportunity that we've been given. We don't want to squander it. We want to make the choices and the decisions that will propel us and to actually move us into the direction that we want to develop our gift in and not away from it. With that being said, God bless you all. Thank you again for allowing me this time, Ms. Leanne Gabriel. And thank you all for listening and being on the call. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day.